Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit Seeker Hour. Spirit Seeker Hour is your chance to delve into the world of your inner spirit. The Spirit Seeker Hour is brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine. Go to www.spiritseeker.com to find out more. And now, here's Cindy Meyer.
Cindy Meyer, and this is this weekly Cindy Meyer show, and tonight we will be exploring the fascinating subject of feng shui, and we have people who have emailed questions in, and then we will have live questions on the air. So the way I'm going to do it tonight is I'm going to just give a brief overview of what feng shui is, how it has changed my life, and share a few stories on how it's changed other people's lives, and then we will go to live questions to the people on the phone first, and then we will make every effort to answer all of the questions on from the people who have emailed me questions. So basically, I want to talk about the radio show too. You know, this is a weekly radio show, and the minute it is finished, it is archived at Blog Talk Radio, and you can go to the spiritseeker.com website, and all you have to do is click on the Blog Talk icon in the left-hand corner. It takes you to the Cindy Meyer page on Blog Talk Radio, and all of the interviews that I've done for the last 2 years are archived there. And I normally have a guest, but this time in meditation, I was told just do it yourself and take questions and, you know, do feng shui readings and help people because feng shui has totally changed my life. So at any rate, you can listen to all the interviews that I've done, and there are some amazing interviews. And, you know, I get a report each week of all the different people who've listened to it during the week. And it's just fascinating to me that, you know, radio has come to this where there's a virtual blog and you can access it any time of the day or night. So if you like this show tonight, please, you know, send an email to friends or family. You can also favorite the show through Blog Talk Radio, which helps us move our page toward the front, which helps us reach more people. You can also send an email to info@spiritseeker.com, and then we will add you to our list, and we send out a weekly reminder each week about what who the guests are and what activities are happening in the metaphysical realm to support your mind, body, and spirit in the Midwest and also throughout the USA. And Spirit Seeker Magazine is what makes this show possible, and the people who are the advertisers of the magazine. And that magazine is in a print magazine in Kansas City, Chicago, and St. Louis, and Columbia, Missouri, and throughout all of Missouri and Illinois. And as we continue to grow with an online presence, we have readers from all over. Okay, so enough of all that. My name is Cindy Meyer, and I had studied feng shui for as long as I can remember it. I didn't even know how to say it. I would call it feng shui or feng shuyu, or, you know, I just really didn't know how to pronounce it because I just kept reading. I'm an avid reader, and I read everything I could. And when I would be in San Francisco, I'd be in Chinatown and, you know, calling the feng shui consultants. But, of course, the recorders would only be in Chinese. And I was just like, oh, one day I'll find my perfect teacher. So in 2004, I did that, and I became certified. And since then, I have gone on to study with so many different teachers. I'm trained in Black Hat sect feng shui and then also Western feng shui. I study quite a bit of Vastu, which is the Hindu form of feng shui. I'm trained in all kinds of different energy medicine and space clearing techniques. I'm trained in holographic sound healing. Oh my gosh, so many different forms of sound healing. I've studied with Jonathan and Andy Goldman. I've learned the tuning forks from several teachers. And so my role as a feng shui consultant is multifold. I work with a lot of real estate agents when properties won't sell. And because I'm a clairvoyant, I can go in and feel what the energy is in the home or the business and tune into what's perhaps energetically still trapped in the building that's keeping the energy from being open and flowing. So I'm a problem solver when a property won't sell. I'm also a person that is called oftentimes before a family moves into a home. You know, you see this more East Coast, West Coast, where people would not even buy a house unless a feng shui consultant analyzed it to see if it has good chi, to see if the energy of the home is balanced. And in Western and Black Hat feng shui, normally there's a way to circumvent a challenge. In Vastu, it's a little more rigid, where if your home is facing in the wrong direction or you have a running off front yard that's sloping down and all of your chi is running away or things just aren't positioned correctly, they'll just say, sell the house. Just sell it, you know. And so we will work with questions tonight, but first I'm going to talk just a little bit about what feng shui is. And what feng shui is what it means is wind and water. And it's over 3,000 years old. Some people say it came from China. Others say it came from Tibet. Others say, you know, there's just different schools of thought. And what is true is that it really doesn't matter. Because bottom line is, when you study the energetic grid of a home and you set intention and you create a home that is balanced in energy, then things just start to shift in a person's life. Because our outer world around us is a reflection of our inner world. So if we are having challenges with relationships or challenges with our health or challenges with our finances or whatever, then normally there's an energetic component in the environment around us. So we'll talk just a little bit about that as we go along tonight. But the main thing to know is that it's ancient. Feng shui is very Taoist in nature. It's an understanding of nature. And particularly that the land that you live on is very alive, the home that you live in is very alive. They study the Chinese five elements. They study the yin and the yang, which is, you know, the contraction and the expansion. And there's just so much more than, you know, when you just start moving things around. It's when you start moving things around with intention, that's when it really gets fun. So what I can honestly say is that I used to have a lot of bright colors in my home, and bright colors are still okay. I have them in parts of my home, but now for the most part I have I use the bright colors through artwork, through colored pillows, through vases and things like that. And for the most part, the feeling in my home, like there are five shades of white. It's a beige, but it's considered a white. Five different shades of white in my living room area. And I also am trained in Bao biology, which is a study, an architectural environmental ecology, so to speak. It was founded in Germany, and with this particular technique, you study the materials in your home. So, for instance, you would not use vinyl wallpaper on your walls because then the walls can't breathe. And carpet, no matter how much you clean it, no matter how much you clean it, it still gets the energy trapped in it. So, of course, with biology, they recommend hardwood floors and natural fibers. And if you are going to use wallpaper, to use like bamboo and things like that. And if you're going to use materials, use cotton or things that are more natural to the environment so that it becomes very balanced in nature. So tonight, I'm going to talk about some basic feng shui tips. And the very first one that I want to talk about is we're at spring cleaning time, and, you know, people used to say it was like an old wives' tale with the lemon oil and opening the windows. But what is true is that when you open the windows to your home with the intention of releasing the old energy and inviting in the new, just a simple act of opening windows and letting out the old chi and inviting new chi in is just a beautiful experience. And, you know, so many people in the West are like, oh, my gosh, it's allergy season. It's this, it's that. And, you know, they live in sterile buildings. They go to work in their cars. And oftentimes the only air that they're breathing is basically from their car to the entrance to the building, and then that's it until they leave. You know, they hire people to do their yard work because they can't breathe. And it's really been a problem in the Midwest this year because we had the winter that wasn't. So normally we have some cold frost and some snow that do away with a lot of the stuff in the air. And this year, just, you know, nature doesn't even know what to do. It's blooming. It was blooming. We had 80-degree weather in February in St. Louis. So nature's confused, and it's affecting the whole eco-balance. And so so what we can do is we can, you know, work with it the best that we can, and we start with the tenet of love it, use it, or lose it. And this is perfect for spring cleaning. So what I suggest is that, you know, you take do a mental meditation where you actually envision yourself coming down the sidewalk to your front door. Most Westerners anymore pull into their garage, and they come in through that side door. But if a person were to come visit you, they would come in through your front door in most cases. Not all. I mean, there's always exceptions. But for the most part, if someone were to come to you, they'd come to your address, they'd park in front of your house or in your driveway, they'd walk up to the house expecting to come in your front door. So it's really important to see what the people are experiencing. So one of the things I suggest is that for 30 days, you know, even if you park your car in the garage, but then walk down your sidewalk and literally come in your front door. And you will experience your home as others are experiencing it. Before they even ring your doorbell, they have felt who you are. So your front door is where the greatest amount of chi or energy enters in. Hands down, it's in, out, people in, out, people in, out. And that is where, if you want to start changing the energy in your home, that's where you start. So you look around. Do you love the rug that is on your front porch? Do you love the wreath or whatever it is that you have on your front door? You know, what is making your home stand out in comparison to the other homes? So a good exercise is to actually stand on your front porch and look at the other homes in the neighborhood and actually see which ones you're drawn to. And oftentimes it's one with, you know, red flowers or they have some kind of a wind chime or they have some kind of an adornment on their door. So the main thing is you want to have something that draws the chi to your house so that it stands out. So there's lots of ways to do this, and one of the best ways is to change, like, some kind of energy on it. So if you have a wreath, then put a spring wreath, and then when autumn comes, put an autumn wreath. You know, winter holidays, put something else. And to use things that are fresh and vibrant. So if something looks bedraggled, but you know, that's your, you know, typical spring thing, but it looks like it's like someone stomped on it and went underneath your car, you don't use it anymore. You don't love it anymore. It's become a habit versus a, you know, something that you would creatively choose. So the love it, use it, or lose it is perfect. And I recommend doing the taking a clipboard with you and a piece of paper. You can do it as a silent meditation if you prefer and actually go in through the front door, envisioning yourself coming in, going in through the whole main level, going upstairs, going downstairs, and then writing all your things down. Or you can see it in your mind and then pausing while you're on your at your entryway and then open your eyes and write down on your clipboard the changes that you would like to make. But the main thing is to have a plan. And, you know, I once feng shuied a home for one of my clients who had lived in this apartment for 9 years, and she was getting it painted, and she was getting all new furniture. And she was just flipping out because, you know, it was very hard for her to release things that she had loved for many years. And, you know, she's like, should I keep my couch? Should I just recover it? And it was one of the ugliest couches I had ever seen. But, you know, and it was tweed. It was not comfortable. It was not something, and it had hard wood, and it wasn't soft. Or, you know, it was just really, but she loved it. So, you know, you have to work with what your client likes. And so when she said, would you recover this? I looked at her. I said, honestly, no, I would not. I would totally release it and get something new. And so that was a big challenge for her. Well, then she said, they're going to paint my apartment while I'm in Japan. So she said, should I take all my pictures down and leave the hooks up so that when I get back, I can put them back up? And I said, why would you do that? I said, then no matter what changes you make in here, it's going to feel exactly like it has for the last 9 years. And her reply was, well, I paid someone to come in and help me figure out where to hang all these pictures. And I said, are you the same person you were 9 years ago? And, of course, the answer was no. I said, take the nails out and start fresh. And then the artwork that will go back is going back with intention. Well, you know, she had this one room. It was her office, and fame and reputation was in there. And she says, or career, actually. And she says, but I have all my certificates. And this was one of those people who just continues to learn. And she had more certificates than anyone I know. And I said, you know what? Keep the nails in that room so you know where to put things back or it will drive you crazy. I said, and that's your office, and things are going to stay the same, but change everything else. Well, she called me from the airport. She was flipping out over this couch that she had ordered, and I said, trust the process, trust. She says, well, I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks. I said, trust the process. And luckily, the designer that she worked with understood her challenge with change. And so when everything came in, he told her to leave for 3 hours, and he said, come back, and then you may see. It's like one of those shows, you know, the design teams that come in. So she left for 3 hours, maybe four, and he came in and he had a team taking everything out. The new dining room table came in, the new light came in, the new tables came in, the new pillows, the couch, the lamps, everything. And when she came back, and we had already transformed all the other rooms, so this was really the final place to be transformed. And when she came back, she cried because it was so beautiful. And it took her 2 weeks before she totally embraced the couch, but by the end of it, you know, it had a chaise lounge at one end. It had these. It was soft. It was comfortable. And so her whole life was transformed. And, you know, these are the kind of issues that you deal with, you know, people who want to hold on to everything and keep it the same. And, you know, a mantra to help you through this is change is good. Change is good. I lovingly release all that is no longer for my highest good. And I invite in new, beautiful, comfortable opportunities and friendships and items that totally support and love and nourish me. So it's just you know, you let it go. And you don't have to become a total minimalist, but, you know, there's an exercise in Simple Abundance by Sarah Brechnick where she suggests that you take every picture and mirror off your walls and every little knick-knack and, you know, the beautiful little things that you accumulate through life, take everything off and put it away and store it for 30 days. Live in your space with nothing in it and then look at your objects and see which ones you really want to put back. And then when you do put them back, you don't put them back in the same spot necessarily. You put them in places with intention. So in feng shui, there's several things. There is there's the energy of the home. You know, are there arguments going on? Or has there been a divorce or a death in this household? Is it a snappy, happy home with dogs and kids and people that are just, you know, living life to the fullest and playing full out? And those homes have a whole different energy than a home that has had grief or sadness. Or if there's been a job lost and there's been financial issues. So there's the whole energetic component of what the people are thinking, what the people are feeling. Then there's the energetic component of the stuff. Oh, gee, is the couch looking like, you know, it's been there forever? Are the rugs bedraggled? Have the kids, you know, like taken markers on the walls? And, you know, you think this doesn't happen, but, you know, it does. And then you just get used to it, you know, in some cases, and you overlook it. So that's why this meditation of walking through with a clipboard, looking at everything, looking at your artwork, is that really like who you are today? And oftentimes just taking artwork down, putting something new up, or rearranging the artwork will change the energy of the home. Okay, so that's one part of it. Then we have the it's called the bagua or the grid, and that is the architectural layout of the home. So when there's a feng shui consultation done, the client will draw a simple floor plan of their home, and if you have a deck that's attached to your house, that becomes part of your house. If you have a garage that's attached, then that becomes part of it. If there's a patio that's attached, then that becomes part of it. And so you have to really include everything. But like if you're going down a sidewalk and then there's a patio on the other side, or if you have a garage in the back of your yard but it's not attached to the house, then that is not energetically part of your bagua. So ideally you'll have a perfect square, but that doesn't always work that way. So we draw the floor plan, and then the feng shui consultant will complete it. And so what they do is they take it and create a perfect square with, if there's an area missing that, you know, isn't in the square and you're like, oh, I'm missing this whole corner, then we analyze the floor plan and we figure out what parts you're missing. And then we play tic-tac-toe. And tic-tac-toe is where you take the floor plan and you basically do tic-tac-toe. There's 9 areas. But, you know, you're not using X's and O's, but you now have your floor plan. And there's 9 areas. And so the 9 areas are wealth and prosperity, fame and reputation, relationship or partnerships. And the next area is children and creativity, helpful people and knowledge, career, knowledge and self-cultivation, health and family, and then the center is called the center, but in the older baguas, it's called Tai Chi. And it's the yin and the yang, and what's true is that the center of your home is ruled by the earth element, and the yin and the yang, contraction, expansion, and it's ruled by earth, so that it's grounded. So in the middle of your home, you would never want bright, fiery colors because it's way too much fire energy. You'd want earth tones and yellow tones and things that feel grounded and earthy and peaceful, because the rest of the home comes off your center like spokes in a wheel. So if you can center the middle of the home from which everything, you know, comes from, then you'll automatically notice more peace. Okay, so when we analyze the space, what we do is we get the history of what happened in the space before. And I know many of you have seen restaurants that have failed, and then another restaurant comes in and it fails, and then another one comes in and you're like, oh, gee, I wonder how long this one's going to last. And, you know, and the whole collective consciousness thinks that as they drive by, oh, yeah, nothing ever works in that place. You know, it always fails. And when you see something like that, you know that there's an energetic challenge. Sometimes it can be with the way the cars are driving towards it. Sometimes it can be, you know, something inside the space is unbalanced. But feng shui consultants come in, they analyze the space, they clear the space through different techniques, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to take a few questions, and you can ask anything, you know, I mean, unless it's inappropriate, but I can't imagine that, and if it is, I'll tell you. But I'm going to be combining my knowledge of feng shui, my clairvoyant gifts that I have, and by the way, that is how I do. You know, it's so wonderful that God has given me the many gifts that I have this time, because I'm a Reiki master teacher. I'm trained in dowsing. I've studied with some of the best dowsing teachers in the world. I've studied with sound healer teachers. I've studied, you know, with amazing feng shui teachers. I've just been very blessed. And so when I go into a feng shui consultation, I get to use all those gifts. And it was really interesting. I was there was a life coach, oh, this was many, many years ago, and he said, I'd like to do an exchange with you. I've been hearing about this feng shui, and he says, would you be open to me coaching you for 2 or 3 sessions in exchange for a feng shui consultation? I said, sure, not a problem. So his home was empty, and he says, you know, he says, I can't imagine, you know, you being able to tell me much because there's not even a piece of furniture in it. I just bought it. I said, well, actually, that's the perfect time for a feng shui consultation. I said, ideally, you would have brought me to the property before you bought it so we can, you know, analyze the energetics. I said, but since you did buy it, I can help you figure out where everything is so that when you come in with your furniture and your artwork and, you know, you're deciding who's living in which rooms, et cetera, you'll have a better understanding. So first thing I noticed when we went through the whole deal, and he was still going through a divorce, but it was almost complete, is that there was absolutely no relationship corner. So I said, you know, see this area out here? I said, it's totally outside and there's nothing in it. He says, oh, that doesn't matter to me. I have no, you know, I'm a single parent dad, all this. I really don't have time for that. I said, well, that might be true now, but if and when you do decide you want to date again, it's going to be a challenge. I said, so let me tell you what to do now. So I made the suggestions, and basically it was to fill it in, to put two chairs, to put bird feeders, to put something that brings energy to there, to look at the two chairs, envision two people sitting there, you know, relaxing, watching the birds, having a wonderful conversation, and, you know, so, you know, but that was one of the big things. And so by the end of the consultation, he looked at me and he said, I had no idea this would be like this. He said, this was absolutely fascinating. He says, do you tell your feng shui clients about your clairvoyant gifts? And I said, oh, no. I said, when I'm a psychic, I'm a psychic. When I'm a breathworker, I'm a breathworker. When I'm a publisher of my magazine, I wear my hat separately. He says, you're missing the boat. He says, you have all of these gifts. And he said, people can benefit from this. He says, you're not just using feng shui here. He said, you did use feng shui. He says, but you also, because I did a clearing on the house too. And so there's someone that needs to mute their phone. I'm hearing background noise. Okay, thank you so much. And so so this man just, you know, he listened to everything and he changed my life by coaching me in that moment. He said, let them know that you have these other gifts. So now it's been a blessing when I'm doing psychic readings. You know, sometimes my feng shui knowledge comes in. And sometimes when I'm doing a feng shui consultation, you know, the intuitive gifts are coming in. I can't turn any of them off. So I just blend them. I let people know. And I do some pretty, you know, when you do sound healing, you're doing so many different techniques. I use tuning forks. I use crystal bowls. I use Tibetan chimes. I use my voice. I'm trained in toning and mantras. And, you know, I call on the different deities that show up to clear the house. And, you know, I remember this one real estate agent who said, you make this weird stuff seem so normal. And I'm not, you know, I'm not awkward with it anymore. At first it was like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think when they hear these voices coming out of my mouth, you know, and toning. But it doesn't matter anymore because I just know that I'm helping and being of service and helping change lives. Okay, so if you do have a question, all you have to do is click one, and Nate, my producer, will bring you on live with a question. So if anyone, I'm going to take a couple of questions now, and if it's a listen-only show, sometimes that happens, then I will take one of the questions that came in through the email. So, but if there's a live question now, please just push one on your phone.
We have a live caller there,
okay.
Cindy.
Okay, great.
It's going to be Jill from Wildwood.
I'm sorry, it's who?
Jill.
From Wildwood. Okay. Hi, Jill. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
first,
great.
I want to say thank you so much for using your gift to help other people. I just thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. It's an honor and a privilege. And, you know, there's not a day, Jill, that I'm not humbled by, you know, the way God arranges the whole thing. And, you know, you think there's like, it's random, and there's just no randomness. It's all like divinely ordered. So thank you. And how may I help you tonight? What's your question this evening?
Well, I'm surrounded by a lot of energy. I'm very much grounded in my faith. But I'm a disaster when it comes to relationships.
Okay.
And this is probably a typical question. I just started a new relationship. And I need to know if I'm headed in the right direction, if this is the right person for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at the energetics of your home first, okay, if we may. So there are two relationship rooms in your home. So let's look at that first to see if that's supporting you having a relationship that brings you full joy. So the number one relationship room is your bedroom. And it's a yin room. We do not have a whole tribe, so to speak, in our bedroom. In a yang situation, that's our living room, that's our kitchen, that's where everybody gathers. But in our bedroom, it's considered a yin room. So several things to support a balanced, beautiful relationship with a partner. Number one, you want to look at your bed and see if there are two nightstands. Do you have two nightstands?
I do.
And are they even? Are they the same height?
No, one's a high boy and the other's a regular nightstand.
Okay, so whoever has the higher nightstand will have more power in the relationship.
Okay.
So the very first thing, and you know, nowadays with interior design, we are way past everything has to match. But vibrationally, you want two nightstands that, and I can't tell you how many homes of single people have one nightstand. And they're like, well, why do I need to put one over there? No one's over on that side of the bed. And it's like, oh, gee. And if they were, would they have a place to put their lamp so that they can read? Do they have a place to put their glass of water or their tea in the morning, you know, or whatever? And so the very first thing that you want to do is even the playing field with two nightstands that are the same height. The second thing is that it's recommended to act as if. So if you're just in the dating arena, then you clear out a full drawer in your bedroom so that that drawer is ready for that person to put some objects if they choose to put some things to be there when they stay over, or if they're just visiting, either way, you know, if you're not at that point. And So act as if. And then in the closet, if your closet is so stuffed with so many clothes that you can barely even breathe when you walk in it, then the assignment is to love it, use it, lose it. If you have not worn it in over 2 years, get rid of it. I don't care how beautiful it is, or if it's something that you just can't let go, it's a vintage thing, put it in a different closet. Because the closet in the room where you are using it should only have clothes that you're using. And the rest of it should be either donated or stored or whatever. But your closet that you're in should have space for someone to hang clothes. So you create like one little section that's just open and waiting for that person to come in. Now, the other thing is if there's a lot of clutter in this room, it just doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, you're not going to feel comfortable inviting someone into your inner space. So it's really recommended that you keep this in pristine condition. The other thing is what pictures are in your room. You know, a lot of single women, especially the way I used to live my life, people would give me artwork, and I just had so many pictures with just single women in it. You know, beautiful goddesses, wonderful pictures, but where's the male element? So,
oh, this is really good. I'm right on track.
Yeah, so I mean, so someone just recently gave me someone just recently gave me this picture called The Kiss, and we had Gustav Klimt's Kiss on the cover. But it's like I'm looking at this picture all day long, saying, "Yep, that's what I want."
No, I actually have on the left side of my room. I have that's where the high boy is, so that would be the more power. And I have a plaque on the wall that says, "Always kiss me goodnight."
Oh, sweet. Wait, so you're inviting
them. And then on my side, I have a knight. He's going off to the war, and there's a woman, and she's tying a ribbon around his arm as he goes off into the war.
Well, that's good, except the guy's leaving you.
So I will come back.
No, you don't want to be like the lady on the you know widow's walk in the house. When's my husband coming home from sea? So no, you don't want him leaving you. You want to see him coming home. So I would not put that in your bedroom. So see, you've romanticized the idea of the man you love leaving you.
Mhm. I like that. That's cute.
And did you notice that you immediately gave the man more power? Oh, that's going to be his side over there, the one that has the high boy. And so I'm immediately going to defer and give my energy to this man who's coming in. But then I'm going to put him on my side of the bed where he's leaving me.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that picture, you know, is probably beautiful and it can go somewhere else. Okay, all right. So a few more things about the bedroom, and then we'll move elsewhere. But in your bedroom, you want to, like, imagine walking in your doorway. And so you would never want your bed straight across from the doorway to where you're walking in and walking straight into your bed. It's called right. The corpse position. And what happens is the energy goes straight up the body. And so it's just not a good position at all. So here's a person sleeping. They look like they're, you know, sound asleep, and then the energy goes straight up their body. The other thing is you don't want a bed horizontal, like right across from the doorway, because then wherever you're walking in, the energy is slicing across the body. So, and you don't want the bed on the wall on the side of the room where the doorway is, because then a person is in the room before you even see them. So it's called a command position. You want the bed on the opposite wall from the entrance, but not in the direct path of the chi from the doorway, or you want it over on the other side of the room where it's facing out. But either way, you want to be able to see the doorway. You want to see the person coming in before they're in the room. The other thing that is recommended is to have a headboard. If you do not have a solid headboard, then you lack solidity in your relationships. The other thing is to not put your bed directly underneath a window, because then you have leaking chi behind you. Now, this doesn't always work. You know, I mean, this is the whole deal about feng shui. You can have the ideal, then you have to have the practicality, because some of the older homes, you know, have windows on both sides, and there's really, you know, not enough room to create, you know, a solid surface, so to speak, behind the bed. So then what you do is you can have the curtains open during the day, but you make sure at night the curtains close, and then you've created a barrier to the world, and there's a solid surface behind the bed. You would never leave the curtains open so that you have the chi leaking. Okay, now, one last thing, and I can't tell you how often I see this. I walk into bedrooms, and there are pictures of, oh, my gosh, mom and dad's wedding, the children, on and on and on. No, 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 no,
no.
No. Well, and I'm going to give an example. There was a gal that had been my client for I don't know how many years with different things, and, you know, I was doing coaching sessions with her, and I knew something just wasn't right. And I said, you know, I said, you've done so many things. I need to see your home. So I get to her home, and never even made it to her upper level until right before I left, because there was so much on her main level. In her relationship corner was a basically a shrine to her mother. No, her not her mother. Her father and her sister, who had both died within 6 weeks of each other. There were the flowers from their funeral. There was the program, you know, thing that was at the church from the memorial service. All the stuff was there. So we dismantled all. It was really kind of creepy. I'm like, how in the world can any new relationship ever get in here? And she had this desk that was facing the wall, and she had this beautiful room all behind her. So we worked, you know, mainly on there. And then something told me, do not leave this house until you see your bedroom. And her main issue was she had relationships, but they didn't last. So I said, okay. I said, I need to see your bedroom. I walk in, and here is this dresser filled with pictures of every one of her friends, all their kids, their husbands, the whole deal. And her bed, of course, was on the wrong wall, and et cetera. And I said, do you want a relationship, or do you, you know? And she says, oh, but these people, they make me happy. I see all my friends before I go to bed at night, you know, la, 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 la. And I said, yeah, you see all of their joyful, happy families. There's no room for you to even have one come in. So, you know, she's like, but I'll feel sad if I take these down. I said, you only see them right before you go to sleep. I said, you see them when you first wake up. I said, imagine having this clear, open and empty, putting, you know, a statue of a man and a woman in an embrace, and imagine that coming for you. You know, imagine that. And she's like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, she made the changes, and then it shifted. Okay, so that's relationship room number one. Now we're going to go play tic-tac-toe standing on your front porch. So we're standing in front of your house, and you know, most houses, you know, you're going to enter in the front door either in the left-hand side, the middle, or the right-hand side. But we've got our tic-tac-toe on our floor plan. So I want you to, like, imagine standing, you know, at the front of your house in the far back right-hand corner. So, like, if you were playing tic-tac-toe, you'd have these nine areas. You'd have three in the back row, three in the middle, and then three in the front of your house. So imagine the back row. You have the left-hand corner. That's wealth and prosperity. Middle is fame and reputation. The far right in the back is the relationship, our partnership area. So what do you have, Jill, in that area?
In the middle area, it's...
No.
It's,
well, go ahead.
In what area? Which one?
Well, what is in the far back right-hand corner?
The kitchen.
Okay, how do you love your kitchen?
I do. There's things I would change about it if I financially could do that. But I have a wide open floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I actually was walking through last night and looking at my floor plan, and I just really, really love it, because you can see, you know, the kids can sit up at the counter and they can watch TV. We can, you know, it all just kind of flows together.
Okay, well, that kitchen is your relationship corner. And it's good because you have energy in there all the time. You have your family, you're cooking, you know. So two things with that, though. There are colors associated with the nine areas. And in the nine areas, there are the Chinese five elements and five. Now, this is way too complicated for this call, but this is what a feng shui consultant does. There are five areas that have an element that rules it, but within each of the nine areas, we balance all five. So we balance fire, water, metal, wood, and earth. So without going into too much detail, in your relationship corner, the colors are red, pink, and white. So you can go any shade of red because red brings in passion.
Mm-hmm.
Pink is a blend of red and white, and you can go with white. And then you can do accents. Now, in my relationship corner, I have these two beautiful plates that are, you know, that are side by side. And when I look at them, I think of partnerships. I have the picture of the man and the woman with the embrace called the kiss. I have two, I just have pairs of things. So it's really a good thing to put something symbolic of a man and a woman, or, you know, something that, you know, what you would like that to look like. Or you can put a pair of rose quartz crystals in your windowsill. But the main thing is this: no matter what you do with feng shui, it's intention, intention, intention. If I tell you to go do all those things in your bedroom and you just do them and you don't connect with the process, it will be effective, but not nearly as effective as if you say, you know what, I am taking this picture down because I do not want to see the men leaving my life, like, you know, people who love
right.
me leave me, okay? I'm going to
right.
get an even nightstand knowing that I want equality and an even playing field in my next relationship because I deserve that, and I want someone who honors and respects me as much as I honor and respect them, and I you know, no giving my power away in relationships anymore. You know, I'm going to invite in, you know, just this wonderful, fabulous playing full out with a partner who is, you know, wanting the same. So do you see how this works?
I do. I really do.
Okay, and then a tip for tomorrow night. It's actually on Thursday night. It's the full moon. And the full moon is in Virgo this month. And full moon and new moon I work with every month. I used to do it, and then I always do it personally. But I used to host mm-hmm. groups, and then I was told a meditation to start it again. But I'm going to tell you all listeners how to work with this. Full moon is a wonderful time for manifesting. And so the Virgo full moon has to do with healing. So you can write on a piece of paper anything that you want to release that is not balanced as far as healing your thoughts around relationships. So if you've had betrayal, if you've had inequality, or if you've had, you know, just lack of trust issues, or whatever it is that you really do not want to recreate in this next relationship, what you say is, I now release all, you know, untrustworthiness in my relationships. I now release all fear of opening my heart and allowing someone to totally get close to me. I now release my fears of intimacy. I now release, so you know, you get the idea. And it's you burn it. You go outside. If you have a fireplace, of course, you can do it. But it's nice to go outside and connect with the full moon, connect with the universe as a much larger cosmos, and just let go. And so full moon, new moon goes perfectly with feng shui. Full moon, let it go. New moon, invite it in. But even with the full moon, after you release, you can just feel lighter and just say, okay, now what do I want to fill the space with? I want to fill it with trust. I want to fill it with love. I want to fill it with, you know, just having fun and hear the sound of laughter. And you can actually, you know, call it in. Now, the other thing is for a relationship is, you know, there's an exercise that I recommend. It's not feng shui, but it supports, I guess I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it quickly. Okay, so there's an author named Michael Lozier, who I absolutely love. He mm-hmm. he specializes in the law of attraction, and he has on his website, he has a contrast form, and I recommend anyone doing it if they're unclear on their career, if they're unclear on, you know, relationship, what they want. A lot of times people know what they don't want in a relationship more than what they do want. So this, it's called a contrast form, and you can download it from his website.
I have a vision board.
Well, this is different. I mean, vision boards, okay. Yes, I teach that. I love it. I've done them for like over 20 years. But and they work. They do work. But the contrast form is to really clear out old thinking of what you don't want so that you don't think about that anymore and you totally have a map of what you do want. So Michael Lozier is spelled Losier. Oprah Winfrey has him as a regular, at least he was, a weekly radio show host on her radio program. And, you know, I could tell you story after story about the guy, but, you know, I think we've done enough. And that it's just really helpful, Jill, to use that form. I use it with almost all my coaching clients and, you know, depending on what they're working with. But
Okay.
Well, thank you. I hope this was helpful.
I'm surrounded by a tremendous amount of energy. Let me tell you, it's phenomenal. And I'm just now starting to try to tap into it. So, I mean, if
it
you can remember
it feels
at
happy.
The time when you started just to kind of tap into, you just have a lot of questions. So, you know, I really appreciate your wisdom and your insight, and you answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, and you've got joy, guys, all around you. When you say you have energy around you, you are a happy girl. But you know what the most important thing to you in a relationship is? This is what I'm hearing anyway. Truth and integrity.
Yes.
It's like
I think the person that I'm with right now has a lot of integrity.
He does.
It's just I've got to let go, and I'm going to do that tomorrow night. I'm going to let go of lack of trust.
Right. And another important thing for you is not that they have to be a millionaire, but you want someone with high prosperity consciousness because you've cleaned up your life in this arena, and you want someone else that plays full out too.
Yeah.
And it's not that money is like the, you know, the focus, but it is to the degree that you want someone with a prosperity consciousness who understands that it's not all money. It's just the blessings from the universe and the abundance of the universe. And, you know, you're very expanded and your kitchen's happy. So I would put some kind of red geraniums in there once, you know, things get cooking, or some kind of red in there to bring some passion in. But remember, if you're going to do a plant in the relationship corner, it brings in a lot of earth energy because plants are considered wood. And here's the deal. If you are going to put plants here, I'm saying geranium, and really and truly, you're supposed to use round leaves, and which geraniums have. You don't want to do anything sharp and spiky because then that's going to invite sharp and spikiness into there. If you have a fireplace, that's too much intensity. You want to put a vase of water to cool it down or a pitcher of water. But I, you know, just put something like in your kitchen, like even if it's just a little statue or a little tiny picture that every time you're in your kitchen, like, you know, hanging out or whatever, you just say, I know my divine partner is right here right now. And just connect with it. But you're on the track. You're doing well. And
I
you're
hope
manifesting.
So.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so.
Well,
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so do we have another live question? Okay, if we don't, then I'm going to continue on. So one of the questions that was emailed to me is what can I do with career? Someone who has been laid off and trying to get a job in this economy, and they're just kind of discouraged. So we're going to go back to our tic-tac-toe, bagua, or grid, and we're going to go to the front three areas. And remember I told you when you're standing facing your house from the front of it, there are three areas. There's the far left, there's the middle, and then the far right. The majority of Western homes, of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but the majority of Western homes, you enter into the middle, which is career. Now, the two areas that I want you to focus on are career and then the far right-hand part of the front three areas of the tic-tac-toe grid, and that is helpful people and knowledge. So two ways to work with changing the energy on getting a job or getting a promotion or changing careers if you're unhappy or just finding a way to come to terms with, you know, having a more happy experience with whatever you're doing to support your livelihood. So here we go. Career is ruled by water. So your front door, a lot of people think, oh, don't tell me I have to paint it red. No, you don't. You can paint it black. Or you can, you know, have it a different color, but the basic colors for water and career are black and deep blue, and the reason is still waters run deep. And you want depth to your career. You want multiple opportunities. You don't want just one thing, and then if something happens, then, you know, you're like, whoa, now I have nothing left. So you want wonderful opportunities, multiple opportunities. So let's act like your front porch is in career. The very first thing you can do, I talked about it earlier, clean it up, you know, get the old things that look old off, put a new floor mat or you know, welcome mat, go with black, go with something dramatic, put vases on your front porch where you can put flowers in them. If you have a choice, go with black unless it doesn't look right, you know, but, you know, if you can, like, Black's just really the best, but you can go with other colors as well and then accent with color. But, you know, in many cultures, more Asian than Western, you'll see the shopkeepers out on their front stoops, sweep, 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 first thing in the morning, you know, before anyone even arrives. And what they're doing is they're sweeping away the old chi and inviting in the new chi. So, you know, on my front porch, I have two rocking chairs. I have two planters where the plants are, you know, in there. I have a beautiful statue of Kuan Yin. I have wind chimes. I have flowers that are on either side. So while a person stands, and then on my door, I have different wreaths that I change, you know, seasonally. So before a person has even rung the door, they have heard the wind chimes. They have seen that they can sit and have a conversation in these rocking chairs or just sit and enjoy the experience. And then they know before they even ring the doorbell, they know something about me. And so anytime you want to change your career, change your entrance. Work with where the greatest amount of chi and energy is going in and out. And if you put wind chimes, do not put wood wind chimes. Do not put wimpy little tiny things. I used to see it. Put wind chimes here. Oh, you'd have these little dainty little, you know, right. No, 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 no. You want long, nice metal wind chimes that have some oomph to them. And, you know, there are just places you can order online, but, you know, there are garden centers where you can go and listen to them. But you want something that you just love. And every time you hear the wind chimes blowing, you think, new opportunities coming to my career now. New opportunities coming now. Now, the other area is helpful people in travel. And helpful people in travel is that far right-hand corner. This is one of the most underutilized parts of feng shui. People are like, you know, what does that mean? Well, helpful people means to attract the helpful people to help you get whatever it is you need. So if you pray to Archangel Michael, if you pray to your angels, if you pray to Jesus, if you pray to God, it doesn't really matter. Who are your helpful people? Who's there for you when the chips are down? Like, who is it that you think of? So you get a red folder, and you put in that red folder, in this Helpful People and Travel Corner, what it is that you want. So, like, let's say you're wanting a new job. So I put your name in, now attract the perfect right livelihood that pays me X amount of money or more and brings me great joy and helps me be of service to mankind. Okay, so it's funny. I had this lady in one of my classes. Her husband had lost his job several years. Well, it was like 2 or 3 years. He hadn't been able to find a job. He'd gotten a few little things that didn't work out. So she misunderstood me. I told her to put the red folder with the sheet of paper saying, I now manifest the perfect right livelihood, et cetera. And you sign and date it, by the way. And you actually can write on there, I'm willing to receive this or something better. Because you might think that you want a job in advertising and marketing, but then something else shows up and you're like, oh, my gosh. So it's always nice to put this or something better. I'm willing to receive this or something better. But you sign it and date it to make it serious. So it's in this red folder. Well, she put the thing in the career corner. And what happened is he got the job anyway. Because her intention was so clear on helping him, and she, you know, came home from the feng shui class and talked to him, and he was enrolled in the whole idea, I'll do anything, you know, I can bury St. Joseph, you know, in the front yard, you know, to sell a house, I could do this, you know. So he's like, whatever it takes. Do you know that he had a job within 1 week, and it was a job that he would never have dreamed of applying for, and it was something that just totally made him happy. So that's so the person who emailed in the question about what can I do with my career. The other thing is, and this is not a feng shui thing, but I've studied a lot of the Bernie Madoff folks who lost their jobs. I don't know why God just sent all these people. I think it's because I made some bad financial decisions in my past that took me a long time. Actually, I'm still clearing some of them out. You'd think, you know, that by this point they'd all be gone, but I don't beat myself up with them anymore. Instead, I'm like, well, you know, that changed my life. And you know, it's what it is, and you know, I learned a lot from it. But at any rate, the Bernie Madoff people, what a lot of those people were told is, go do some volunteer, be of service, go find a cause that you really believe in, get to know the players that are doing good deeds in that area, and all, like, you know, a lot of times they're like a United Way Foundation. next thing you know the players, you know the people on the boards, you know the people that are in the hiring positions. And if you really find that you like it, oftentimes you've got the inside track with getting a job. So if you're sitting around and you can't get a job, go volunteer, go be of service, go help someone. You know, that's what 2012 Energy is all about, by the way. It's about being of service, and it's speed it up. Do not just sit there and think you have months and years to get it all together, because that is over. That is over. There is no time for anyone just to sit anymore, unless you're sitting in meditation contemplating how to make your life a better life and how to be of service, greater service to more people. That's what it's all about. So let me tell you how this works. If you're in St. Louis, you know, there are many feng shui consultants that I have trained and that, you know, are fellow classmates of mine. There are a lot of feng shui consultants in St. Louis. So, you know, Cindy Meyer here does consultations in St. Louis. I also travel throughout the Midwest and do them, but more and more I am doing remote feng shui consultations, and when I train my students, I train them how to do this, because there are a lot of people who live in rural areas and there just are not consultants. And right now, as many of you know, I have a broken leg. I broke my leg in three places, so I'm not able to go out and do any in person, so I'm doing them all remotely. So I actually have a special right now, so if you are listening and you're not in the St. Louis area, or even if you are, because I can't come to them in person right now, you know, my normal fees are $126 an hour, and right now I have a special for $108. So, and basically what I have you do is email me the consultation form, either fax or email me your floor plan. Then we get together, and I've looked at what your goals and intentions are for what you want to create in your life. And then before we actually do the consultation over the phone, I have you email me any pictures that you feel that are pertinent. And then I email or fax or get back the floor plan to you, so that when we're on the consultation, you know, okay, oh, my bedroom is in the wealth corner. Oh, I'm sleeping in the knowledge and self-cultivation corner. Or, oh, my kitchen's, you know, in the career area. You know, so you kind of know where everything is. And then I do remote clearings because, you know, I'm a Reiki master teacher and I've learned all kinds of different things. And, you know, on how to clear spaces and how to clear energy. And so it's the same thing as if you're in person. So it's absolutely fascinating, you know, because you can do remote long-distance Reiki sessions and you can do remote long-distance clearings. So so that's what I do. And if you're interested, you can call my office, which is 636-530-7579. I'll repeat that. It's 636-530-7579. Or you can email me to info@spiritseeker.com. That's S-P-I-R-I-T. SEEKER.com. And as I mentioned front end with the show, I have published Spirit Seeker magazine for almost 15 years now, and it was a newsletter for 2 years before that. And we have great articles, you know, and there will be a feng shui article in our April issue. We just have so much fun with this magazine, and great articles. You can read it online. Our online magazine is actually larger than our print magazine that's in the Midwest, and just fabulous, fabulous articles each month. And the February issue, and that's archived there also at spiritseeker.com, the February issue had feng shui tips for foods and things for your heart and lung health. Because a lot of times with our lungs, you know, we don't realize that the foods we're eating and the environment affect our lungs. And so there's lots of tips on that. Okay, so we are almost out of time, but I just want to mention the thing about the spring cleaning. The reason it is such a wonderful time to let things go is, like, you know, spring is a good time to do a detox and a cleanse. Well, we think about that with our physical bodies, but we don't think about it with our houses. And so the more you change the energy in your house and just let things go and keep it simple and austere, the better it'll be. And if you have a collection of things, do not put the whole collection out at once. It's overwhelming. You know, what's interesting is, like, if you take just a couple pieces out of the collection and put it somewhere, people say, oh, I never saw these. Are these new? They've been there forever. So with collections, you rotate the pieces. You like, some people have chess sets, okay? If you have four chess sets, you only put one out at a time, and then rotate them. If you have beautiful wine glasses and you've got too many of them, use some at one holiday season, then use another for another season, and et cetera. Okay, so are there any more questions? Okay, well, this is Cindy Meyer, and this was, you know, the feng shui talk. And if you like the show, all you have to do is favorite the show or send a link, you know, to someone just saying, go listen. I do have a feng shui certification program that will be starting in St. Louis. And there's a feng shui certification program that will be in Kansas City. But I love doing feng shui. I have students who study with me, and, you know, it's just fascinating.
I had one more caller that needed to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's go ahead and take that call.
Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Hello, Cindy. This is Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Okay, so part of the feng shui for the bedroom, quick question.
Sure.
I did buy a second nightstand. It is 2.5 inches shorter, but I did get a matching lamp, and I raised the lamp, so those are the same height.
That's perfect. So when you come
is
in, it feels energetically. Yeah, yeah. And if it's like only 2.5 inches, that's not a big deal. What's a real big deal is when you have a high boy and a low boy.
Oh, like the last caller. Okay.
Right, right, because that's too much of a discrepancy. And you notice, she automatically deferred and gave the guy the more power, which then automatically she wonders why, you know, her relationships don't last, because she gives her power away.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're close, you're great. And really, that's the new trend. You know, you watch Nate Berkus and all the stuff, you know, with Oprah, the guy that, you know, she works with interior design. That's
yeah.
The new trend. The new trend is things don't match exactly.
Yeah, and that's good. But luckily, the nightstand that is shorter is on my side or the opposite side of the bed, so that's not the first one you see.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
The height's not noticeable,
yeah.
But... since
yeah.
You had told me about the feng shui, but I wanted to try to balance it as much as possible. But
yeah, no, it's perfect. And then now release the thought that, oh, my gosh, it's 2.5. Say, oh, it's perfect and divine, and I love both of my nightstands, and I know my partner is going to love his, and I love mine, and look at these beautiful lamps, and, oh, my gosh, we can both read books. We can, you know, have this wonderful intimate space, and, yeah, there you go.
Fantastic. Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that was an easy one. Okay.
You.
All right. Well, thanks so much, for everyone, for joining us tonight. And, you know, I just want to thank the people behind the scenes. You know, my producer, Nate, makes it all easy. He gets everything up and running. He, you know, sends out notices. So, seriously, if you like the show, go ahead and favorite it. And then that gives Nate he gets your email, and then we send you a reminder about the show. But if you send something to info@spiritseeker.com, it's really helpful too, because then I send out a separate reminder and we let you know about all the different things coming up with Spirit Seeker. We do have a holistic conference coming up in July. That'll be on July 15th. This week in St. Louis, some of the wonderful events, James Redfield is going to be in St. Louis on Friday night and Saturday. Dr. Michael Cotton, who I interviewed 2 weeks ago, is going to be in St. Louis with Higher Brain Living. That's on Thursday night. There's a full moon meditation that I will be offering tomorrow night. It was completely full, but someone just emailed and said that they're not going to be over there, so there's one more opening for the full moon meditation fire ceremony, and that's on tomorrow evening, so just call the Spirit Seeker office if you're interested, 636-530-7579. We're also working with UMKC in Kansas City with their holistic fair that's coming up the weekend of March 17th. I think it's on Sunday, and I think that's March 18th. So we will have a booth there, and we will be supporting the Kansas City area. I will be teaching at a conference in May in Kansas City. I'll be speaking on feng shui. There's a Qigong conference coming to St. Louis, or I'm sorry, Columbia, Missouri. One of the grandmother elders in Qigong, and she will be teaching that the first weekend of May. In Chicago, many people are coming from all over the Midwest to the Celebrate Your Life annual conference. We've supported that event since its inception, so I think this is the sixth year, and that's in June. And we will be interviewing amazing speakers at that conference over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Barbara Marks Hubbard is in this issue of Spirit Seeker, and I'll be interviewing her. Don Miguel, Ruiz, all kinds of different people. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun. There's also Sharon McLaughlin, who is having a conference, Be Inspired. It's all about inspiration. She will be on in a couple of weeks. Next week I have Sharon Heller, who is talking about a whole new take on anxiety and looking at anxiety differently. The last Tuesday of this month, we will have Anavra, who is from Italy, and he's a little bit nervous because he thinks we're not going to love his Italian accent. He speaks Italian far better. Obviously, it's his native language. But he's going to talk about his different experience with body work from all over the world. And then I will have a live call-in show that night with readings. Okay, so that's it. Please go to spiritseeker.com, and you can read all about the radio show. Everything's on there, and there's some fabulous articles this month. And email us feedback if you have suggestions or whatever. We appreciate it. And thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and may feng shui, love it, use it, lose it, live your life with intention and purpose, and may you just really reconceive it and tap into the whole energy of spring. You know, James Michener said making New Year's resolutions in the dead of winter makes absolutely no sense. In spring, when everything comes back to life after the dormant winter, that's the time to come back and make your intentions. So it's a perfect time for feng shui. It's a perfect time for change. Use your aromatherapy. Use your sound. You know, put happy music on. Take your Tibetan chimes. Take your bell. Just go through your house dancing and clearing the energy and just invite all newness. Okay. All right. Well, happy week, and I will talk with you next week. Namaste.